welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. I come your way every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Time. We stream live on the internet at richarddugan.com. We also archive these programs at richarddugan.com radio shows page. And you can go there and listen to this and all the other programs on the website that we've been doing for almost 3 years, if you can believe that. That's astonishing, considering that I've only lived here on the Central Coast for 4 years. But I've been interviewing folks for the past 30. I don't know that I've done the tens of thousands that Larry King has interviewed, but I certainly have had a lot of fun. I'm sure he has as well. Talking about a wide variety of subjects, and on this program, dealing with new paradigms for a new world, we like to have regular folks come back with us, or folks come back on a regular basis to share with us what they have learned and gleaned and become aware of, those aha moments since the last time we had them on the program. Tony Elizabeth Seurat is just such a guest that we've had on before, and I want to welcome you back to the program.
Thank you, Richard. It's delightful to be here. I'm so happy to get a chance to say, oh, yes, and now guess what's happening?
Well, I'm very curious as to what that is. What I'd like to do is let our listeners know also that they can get in touch with you through your websites. You do have two of them, or at least two addresses that they can go to. One of them is, now, I'm not sure if it's plural or singular, Sacred Spaces or Sacred Space.
Well, let me make it easy for everybody, okay? I created a portal, because I have three websites, so I created a portal. All it is one page, like a splash page.
Ooh, a
and
portal.
If you go there, you can get to, it's a portal to all three of my websites, and it's youaresacred.com.
You are, now is that spelled out,
Y-O-U? The word's spelled out, Y-O-U-A-R-E-S-A-C-R-E-D, youaresacred.com. And there you can go to all of my websites from that page, and from that page you can also get to my YouTubes, and you can also get to, you can subscribe to my newsletter.
You are,
and that's all that's on that page.
Okay. I'm glad you didn't text that URL. The letter U, the letter R, and so forth.
Oh, no. I thought, well, it was interesting because my main website, which is Sacred Spaces, plural, W-A, sacredspaceswa.com for Washington, is too hard to remember. And I thought, well, if I could just create one page where people could get to all of them, and I talk about us being sacred all the time, I thought, you are sacred. And I went and searched, and it was available.
Wow.
Which was just like 2 years ago.
Cool.
Yeah, and I was amazed. So I got that URL, and I put that page up, and people can get to all of my websites through youaresacred.com.
I was shocked when richarddugan.com was available. I'm going, you're kidding, really? Because there was a guy in Chandler, Arizona, when I was living in Phoenix, who ran for mayor of that small town by the same name. I used to say, he better watch his P's and Q's because he's representing me too.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah.
And I'm surprised I'm surprised he didn't snag it, but nonetheless. So again, it's youaresacred.com, Y-O-U-A-R-E, sacred.com. And they can go there. That's the portal to all of the information that you have available and a lot of the stuff that we're going to be talking about today here on Tell Me Your Story. And you deal with something that not a lot of people do. Pictures have been taken of them and they, oh no, I'm sorry, that I didn't mean to get that water spot on the lens. It's not a water spot. That's an orb. Can you tell us, for those of us who don't recall or are hearing this for the first time, what is an orb?
Well, the light orbs, or as I like to call them, whole light beings, are conscious entities that have been with us from time immemorial, but we haven't been able to see them because of where our conscious awareness was as far as our visual spectrum is concerned. And our visual spectrum is changing, just like everything in this earth is changing right now. And we're able to visualize these bodies. They're actually plasma bodies for this consciousness that is a group consciousness. So even though people might see one or more orbs in a picture, the consciousness that is underpinning that, if you would, is a group consciousness. And in 2004, the whole light beings asked me if I would transmit messages for them, and I started doing that then. And so when I do that, it's for the whole consciousness versus Tony's consciousness talking to Richard's consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
When when the whole light beings talk to me, even if somebody says, well, you know, here's a picture of this green whole light being, and I want to know what it has to say, well, it isn't going to say anything. They are. They say a lot, constantly. But it's the union of their knowing versus just one of them speaking. So lots of times people want to have a guardian orb, like a guardian angel, and mm-hmm. I just tell them, well, you know, it's a very cozy thought, but it doesn't work that way because they don't do that.
You also, and obviously this is borne out in the name of the website, You Are Sacred, that you ascribe to the belief, or maybe the knowing, that we already are where we seem to aspire to achieve to, or to rise to ascend to a higher level. We're already there. That's, yes. Is that correct?
Yes, that is what I espouse, and that's what I live in my life, that we are God in form. And I know that for a lot of the listeners, that's a hard thing to take on, that, you know, well, yes, I am a spark of God, I'm part of God. But what I'd like to illustrate is that that's impossible. You have to be completely God, because however you see God or Source or all that is, whatever you want to call that originating source of everything that we experience in all dimensions, whether we can see it, feel it, taste it, hear it, etc., or not, I mean, even extrasensory perception, all of that had to be created from only one source, and that was Source itself, because there wasn't anything else to create from. I sometimes, you know, I'll put my hands together and I'll say, okay, here's Source sitting there in the nothingness going, I'm going to manifest. Well, what's it going to use for material? There's mm-hmm. nothing to use but itself. And so, of course, that means that each aspect of us, even if we see it as the dark versus the light, or whatever we don't want to look at, or the person over there that seems to be so naughty, that's still God in form. And if you don't embrace that thought, and if you think that that doesn't sound viable for you, then I invite anyone to tell me what you think it is. How can it be outside of all that is, unless there's something besides all that is, and then all that is not all that is.
Either it is or it isn't.
It is or it isn't.
Interesting. Well, now, how long have you been communicating or communing with the orbs? How long has this experience and have these entities been inhabiting your life?
Since about 1997, 98, somewhere in there. I can't remember exactly. But it was at a time when there was a website that, you know how like when you're surfing the web for something and then all of a sudden you end up, you know, in Tuscaloosa, mm-hmm. but you don't know how you got there. It was one of those experiences, and all of a sudden I'm on this website, and it's this young man, and it's since then it's been taken down, who said he had a long, long story about his life, and I read it, and he said that at this one time in his life, which had been like the year before, he had received some information internally that he was supposed to go to this place outside of town, and I think he was in Rhode Island, if I'm remembering correctly, and sit on this hill and wait for something to happen. And he said he sat there for like a day and a night. He was very dedicated, and he had his camera. And all of a sudden, on the second day, he saw this rip, and he caught a picture of it, and you could see it. It was like a tear, and he said it's like a tear in the fabric of time-space. It was just like, not a hole, but like a rip, as though you had ripped a cloth. And through this rip were coming these light orbs. And the light orb said to him, I will be with you, we will be with you at all times. You can call us on us anytime you want to. You can expect us to be there, and we'll be there. And so he had posted all these pictures, and he had his own frame of reference for it and what he thought they were, and he went into great detail. And he said, so I'm going to take this idea, and I'm going to take it to the Pope and to the President and to other nations' heads throughout the world, and I'm going to let them know these beings are here and that they have to change their ways, and et cetera, et cetera. Well, needless to say, that didn't happen, and also he's not on the web anymore, so I don't know what happened to him. But what it did for me was I thought to myself, well, if those beings are present and they're with at all times, they can be with anybody at all times, I'm going to ask them to come and visit me. So during a meditation group the following week, I did that. And sure enough, they came into my mind's eye in my on my image screen within my not in front of me, like, you know, looking at a table, but inside of me. And they began giving me all this information about the construction of the universe that I knew I didn't know. And it was just like this class. And so I took this class, and after the meditation was over, I said, well, wow, that was interesting. Thank you so much. Goodbye. And they said, oh, no, no. Now that we're here with you. We don't come and go. We stay. So you can sort of count on us to be around. And they were so right. And pretty soon I began seeing them in my house, just going through a room for no particular reason. And then that time went on, and like I said, that was towards the end of the 90s, and then it wasn't until 2004 when I was over on the Olympic Peninsula at La Push, at this wonderful Indian resort, that they just appeared like in such abundance that I knew something was up, and I asked them what was going on, and they said, we want you to transmit messages for us. So I've been doing that since then. And they have become, they've gone from very pragmatic and joking and just kind of, they say things I would never say. They address things in a way that's just not my frame of reference for life. They've gone from that to an extension into really bringing to the human beings, or as they call them, the humans, the awareness that they have of the human being as being the emanation from the eminence, which is, for me, God in form, and how any distraction from that or detour from that within our mental construct, how much that undermines us.
Mm.
And it's beautiful.
Well, I want to talk more about that as we continue here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Tony Elizabeth Seurat is our guest, and we are talking about a wide variety of things, but today I think we're going to focus primarily on the orbs and what kind of message they're bringing, and we'll talk more about that as we continue here on Tell Me Your Story. Tony's website, once again, the portal page is youaresacred.com, so youaresacred.com. Stay with us.
You have a message that others can benefit from, a meditation to share, a talk to give that you want heard by more than just those present. A workshop, seminar, presentation with speakers whose information, insight, and inspiration can help others to break through to their highest potential and purpose. Making a quality recording is the first step to making it available, and fast forward is the right direction. They'll bring the recording studio to you. Your message is important. It needs to be recorded by professionals who share your passion and want to provide quality recording to those who want and need to hear it. Call 805-708-9804 to take that first step. 805-708-9804. Call Fast Forward for all your recording needs on location and in studio. 805-708-9804.
When it's time to clean your carpets, you should know that some carpet cleaners can leave harmful toxins in your home or office. That's why Wallace Cleaning Company created the four-step cleaning process that uses state-of-the-art equipment and environmentally safe, non-toxic solutions to clean your carpets with your satisfaction guaranteed and your safety in mind. Since 1979, Wallace Cleaning Company has been the Santa Barbara area's premier choice for quick, quiet, efficient, and safe carpet cleaning that dries in 2 hours or less. When it's time to clean your carpets at home or office, it's time to call a name you can trust at a price you can afford. It's time to call 967-1860 to talk to the pros at Wallace Cleaning Company, where no job is too big or too small. Wallace Cleaning Company, 967-1860. Learn more about the affordable four-step cleaning process that cleans your carpets with your safety in mind.
Keeping all that fear inside. I understand how trouble haunts you. It haunts me too. Yes, and I do know how you feel.
Tell Me Your Story is New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. I'm Richard Dugan, and I have to say before we continue here, I've had quite a last couple of days here. I've had my sister and her husband were here visiting from Phoenix, and I was sad to see them go because I knew that they were going back to the heat. I wasn't so sad to see them go because I knew I wasn't going with them and I was staying here and it was going to be cool for me for the next, as long as I want to stay here. But it was great to have them here and share some time and break bread and have a glass of wine together and talk about things that we talked about. It's just really nice to have family and friends around and especially visiting. I've always enjoyed having people visit, so that is not an open invitation, everybody. I'm just saying I enjoy it. So if you get the invitation, I suggest you take it, and whether it's from me or somebody else, enjoy the people that you're with. Like Tony Elizabeth Seurat, who is our guest, youaresacred.com is her website, and we're talking about the orbs and the messages that they have been sharing with her and countless other people. You have at least one book that I'm aware of, Tony. And also a CD that goes along with that.
I've got one regular, paper book that you mm-hmm. hold in your hand, and then I've got two e-books. The book that is the soft cover book is The Call, Awakening the Angelic Human, and with it comes a CD that is DNA Reawakening. It's a ritual to accelerate the awakening of your DNA. Mm-hmm. And then I have two e-books. One is a book about the orbs and some information that they channeled through me. And the other one is You, a Field Guide, Finding an End to Seeking, which is a book about literally that, how to find yourself so that you will stop looking for yourself through various other modalities that aren't going to work.
That's the 60s version of I'm Leaving to Find Myself.
Yes, I remember my mother always saying, because I was a child of the 60s, and she didn't approve of that at all. And she could say, I don't understand why everyone's just saying that they have to find themselves. I know who I am. I know where I am. And I thought, oh, dear Mom. I was raised in a dynasty setting, the mm-hmm. old program dynasty. Well, envision that. That was my life. And wow. My mother was like the head of the star of the show. And I thought, and she knows who she is. I don't think so. Mm. She knows where her diamonds are, but that's about it. But the idea of finding yourself is really something that is a personal journey for each person within themselves. And yes, a lot of, teachers, master teachers, I say I'm a master teacher, I am, and I will be happy to instruct you in whatever techniques and tools that I'm capable of giving you, and yet it's up to you to do it, because each person has to personally find that which is their essence, as the light orbs like to call it, and from that standpoint, realize that they're already enlightened, that there isn't anything to seek. There's nothing, there's no destiny to go to. We are creating that destiny mm-hmm. with every breath, and we are creating what we are in every breath. And when we make the pronouncement to ourselves that I will stand forth in my benevolence and hold it for all things, all beings, all situations, all times, then we're done.
Mm. So let me put it in a sort of a vernacular. I'm in Duluth, but I just don't know it because I can't read the street signs yet. Uh-huh. I can't speak the language of the people yet. I'm not able to consume the foods because I've never had them before and they're foreign, strange to me. It's like, there was that great book and I can't remember it now off the top of my head. Stranger in a Strange Land.
Stranger in a Strange Land. Wasn't that wonderful?
And well, the part I've read is wonderful. I haven't finished it yet, but I do.
Oh, okay.
But I do remember the phrase, because I did get this far, where the word grok comes from. And it's
grok,
not
yeah.
just understanding. It is
no.
knowing that you know that you know that you know. I mean, it's in every cell of your being. So we are in a state of fog, if you will, and until we clear the fog, or as you've stated, until we know who we are, we don't know that we already are sacred, ascended, whatever terminology that folks want to use, until we clear that fog, so to speak, we are unaware.
Right, and that's what this You, a Field Guide is about, because what I talk about is the fact that our ego personality, the poor ego gets such a bum rap, as though it's this bad guy. Without our ego personality, we would not be on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
It makes us who we are.
Yeah.
And yet, what the ego personality is really yearning for and really wanting is to do what I call falling in love with the beloved within, which means to realize that it is safe to be in union in the whole, that you don't have to be separate, sitting over here in your chair, warding off the bad, whatever that, however you see the bad. The bad could be good to, for one person and bad for somebody else. And when you are able to embrace that, despite whatever anybody else says, or despite what other people's beliefs are, or despite what your parents told you you had to do, when you're able to embrace that, you're free.
Mm.
And then you can understand that you are enlightened. But it is the fog is the acculturated programs and conditionings that are just layered and layered and layered on top of us, to the point where many people, and I know that the listeners will resonate with this, many people feel that there are simply givens in life and that everyone simply knows that the givens are true. So that if you say to them, you need to dispel your belief systems, they'll agree with you and they'll say, well, except for these givens over here, because everyone knows that this is true over here.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want to give up those.
Right.
But there are no givens.
Interesting.
All of them are made up. All of them are created.
Okay.
Even the color of the sky is blue is because most of us, with our visual spectrum, are seeing it as a color we call blue, and we all agree that that's the name of that particular frequency of wavelength.
Right.
And if we all decided it was pink, it would be pink.
Or any other
utterance. Color or name or whatever, yeah.
Right.
So there's no given that's out there that is so sacred you have to embrace it.
That's something that's always been interesting to me as to how things acquired I'm going to use the term utterance rather than word because
yeah,
it's different
sure.
in every language.
Mm-hmm.
And who made the determination that that was the utterance that was going to be used to define, if you will, or describe that particular thing, physical, like you say, the blue sky, which isn't really physical, but nonetheless, we view
yeah.
it through our eye,
right.
Or the ground, or gravity, or whatever else that you want to use. I learned a little about, for example, the Russian language, and if you were to go to Russia and try to talk about certain types of machines, well, guess what? You're going to have a hard time because there are not the words to describe, say, a washer and dryer or a dishwasher or a can opener or so on and so forth. At least there weren't.
Right.
There's just one word for machine. I don't know what it is. All I know is I heard that description once.
Okay.
And that's how limiting language can be.
Yes.
So how do we then best observe and share what we observe with others in a way that is not full of our own judgment and personality?
Well, I like to teach people to stay in the question.
What's the question?
The question can be anything.
Okay.
But yeah, your question is, what's the question? You just asked it. And rather than attempting to defend their position or believe that they know or think that they have to have the answer, and actually it's what is used in cocktail parties to create the impression that you're a good party goer. If you stay in the question and you're constantly asking people, well, how are you doing? Oh, really? Well, what was that like? Oh, well, can you tell me more? And that's all you just stay in the question. Everyone walks away and goes, oh my gosh, isn't Tony a wonderful, just great socialite? She just talks to everyone. And all you're doing is walking around asking questions because everybody wants to talk about themselves.
Mm.
Well, if you use that as an analogy, if you stay in the question with someone, say, for instance, you say, I know I'm God in form. And somebody goes, well, that's impossible. You couldn't possibly be God in form. God is God.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of saying, now, wait a minute, let me tell you what I mean. If I say, well, what do you mean by that? And then they give me an answer, well, can you tell me more? Oh, really? Well, how does that exhibit in your life? Well, is it serving you? And you just stay in the question, then you're not full of yourself. You're finding mm-hmm. out where the person really is. And eventually, what usually happens, almost always, is that you find common ground.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah, you know, and that makes rather logical sense. It really does. To stay in the question. Because the whole point of this program is having folks such as you, Tony, share your perspective, your viewpoint, to our listeners to give them more to think about, more to consider, other possibilities, other choices. New paradigms for a new world, and the only way we create something new is to gather the bits and pieces, so to speak, of the old, and kind of create from that. Is this part of, or in large part maybe, what the orbs are their main focal message?
Well, in a certain way. I mean, they don't ask us to stay in the question because that isn't actually,
sure,
actually the way they talk.
Mm-hmm.
But what they really talk a lot about is passion at a distance, or that's kind of like their idea of the law of attraction.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk a lot about bringing up within your body whatever it is that is your passion. And everybody has a passion. Even the person who says, oh, no, I just go and do my job and come home and drink my beer and watch television. Well, that's a nice cover story, and I don't believe a word of it. If we were to sit there long enough and I asked you enough questions, we would get to your passion, which is anything. It could be deep sea diving, or it could be painting with watercolors. I don't know what it is, but it's something. And every person has this passion within them. And what the whole light beings talk about a lot is how the earth is transforming. It's kind of like going back to the village, except that there's so many more of us now that the villages are really huge, where every person does what calls to them as their passion, because that's their gift, and it's also their most, the thing that they do the easiest, their most distinct way of thinking, the way they frame the reference for their own life. So instead of being raised in school and your parents say you have to be a doctor because that'll give us prestige as a family and it'll make more, you know, make lots of money and blah, 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 that maybe the person wants to go out there and be an archaeologist, or maybe he wants to, you know, write poetry, and parents, no, you shouldn't do that. The poets starve. You don't want to do that. So the person never gets a chance to do that. And because there's so many of us on the planet now, and there is such little opportunity from the ego personality's perspective of how cultures are structured, if we listen to the passion of our heart, and one of the things that I have been teaching people is how to do that, and make the decision that that's what we're going to do with our lives, then we're actually like taking it back to the village, where one guy planted the corn, and one person made the teepees, and one person made the dinner, and, you know, everybody, one person or a group took care of the kids, and everybody had their functions that fell naturally to them.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was what came natural to them. It wasn't because somebody told them they had to do it.
Yeah.
That's what the Vision Quest, the Native Americans, they'd send the young men out on Vision Quests, and they would come back and say, I just came back from my Vision Quest, and I am a, name it,
yeah,
a warrior, a hunter, a giver of the peace, a shaman of this, of that. And the child named it.
Yeah. You know, and that's what I find interesting is, you know, I've been talking with people these last few days about, you know, the myriad of different jobs there are out there in the world, and that there are a lot of people who are mismatched during the period of time when the largest number of layoffs were going on a year to a year and a half ago. They're still going on, I know, but I'm talking about huge numbers.
Yeah.
My question was to people, how many of those people do you think loved the job that they were doing, that they were just laid off from, that they couldn't wait to get up in the morning and go to work and do that job? How many of those people do you think felt that way? And I'll bet you that 95% of those people that were laid off didn't.
No.
That they didn't want to be in that job, that they wanted to be doing something else. But that didn't mean that there weren't people who felt that passion for going to that factory and doing those things, but they were in an office building somewhere doing whatever they were doing, or working in a financial institution, or working in a grocery store, and then they get laid off. And to me, that's a sign that you're in the wrong place, that you should be somewhere else. Now, that's easy for me to say because I've got a job. I mean, that's what everybody kept telling me. Well, yeah, that's easy for you to say because you're working. They're not. And so you get to philosophize I think that's a word, about...
you and Sarah Palin.
About their... Oh, okay. About their... thanks a lot.
I know. I couldn't resist that.
Anyway, that's okay. That's okay. But the point being that we get trapped. And the best advice my father of 79 years of age and going strong gave me back, has to be 40 years ago, don't get stuck in a job you don't like. I did. He got out of the job he was doing and transitioned. He says, find something you love doing it. And the way he looked at it was, because you're going to be doing it for a long time.
Uh-huh.
Well, I've already been doing it for 30 years, and it feels like a day. I mean, it's gone by like shot, because I love doing it.
I mean,
we deal with transitioning on this program, and I say, well, they're going to have to peel my vehicle off the console when I transition, because I'll be doing this.
Right, you'll be sitting right there.
Yes, although I shared that, and my wife says, that's going to be real hard on your guest, isn't it? Says, well, I'll wait till the show is over. The show will be completed. But that's really the point, is that we have bought into the givens that you talked about before.
Yeah.
And we end up going in a direction, and then it's midlife or 50s or 60s or 70s when we finally have that aha moment going, oh, that's what I really wanted to do. And they could have been doing that their whole life. Now, rather than regret having spent 40 years doing what they didn't like, rejoice in the fact that, oh, I found it and I'm going to do it now.
Right. Plus, everything you've done up to date is going to bolster what you've done. I've spent a lot of my life, I was a paralegal for part of my life, and I was also a financial manager in a software company. Those two very heavily business-oriented attributes in my consciousness help me a lot when I'm dealing with people who are having issues around business life, and they want to learn how to follow their passion, because I can understand their lingo. I know what they're talking about. Versus if I had always just been sitting in my little chair, you know, oming away, and they started talking about business, I would have no point of reference for that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I went through that same thing in my early years with the first radio station that I was with for 15 years. And I listened to and understood and began to be able to use the vocabulary that they used at the religious radio station, quite honestly, to conduct interviews just like this one on a Christian radio station. But I used their terminology so that they would be open to it.
Exactly. And it just makes all the difference in the world. And at the same time, what is important to remember is if the job that you've got, the meat and potatoes, is putting the roof over your head and is putting the potatoes on the table, is what you're going to keep doing, follow the passion outside of the time that you're at work.
Mm.
That's what I did. I was teaching metaphysical classes at night and on the weekends when I was a paralegal, and some of the people that I worked with in my office came to my classes.
Wow.
And I did the same thing when I was working at the software company. I asked if I could use a spare room as a meditation room and set up a place for people to come and be with me. And they said yes, and it worked like just, it was gorgeous. To take that which you really are and to take it into the rest of the world is what we're being asked to do. So that we're not just hiding away with, oh, yes, I know all of these things, but if I go out there and say anything about them, God knows what's going to happen. Well, yeah, God does know what's going to happen. That's why you're feeling that way. Take it out there and prove to people that it works, so that they're able to find out who they are too, because you're being the mirror for them.
And the thing is that we as individuals have a responsibility, euphemistically speaking, to those on the rung of the ladder below us, as those above the ladder above us have a responsibility to us. We're all in this together, and we all lift each other up along this journey.
And it doesn't make any difference what anybody's doing. When you were talking about jobs and what have you, I was thinking about, it just came in my mind, what was this time that I spent as the chairman of the board for the Red Cross for this area, and also the disaster instructor.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to what we were doing was we were going around the area in different communities and teaching them how to create a disaster team, so that if should something happen, like an earthquake or a volcano, or where we have lots of volcanoes around here, or anything like that, that they would have a team of people in place to set up shelters and to help people, so we didn't have to start from scratch. Mm. And, you know, and always a few leaders would rise to the, you know, to the fore, and they'd be the heads of the team, and we would go, and we just did this constantly for years in this area while I was working with the Red Cross. And in one of the places that we were, I was explaining all the different jobs that happen in the shelter, from, you know, registration to setting up cots to making sure that there's a place for kids to play. And, I mean, it's all pure work. There's nothing in it but just slave labor, and you're just in there doing it because you're setting up house for all these people who are in total crisis. Mm. And this one woman raised her hand, and she said, "I get cleaning floors and toilets." And I said, "Excuse me?" And she said, "That's what I want you to, whoever's the leader of our group, I want you to put it down. I do the waste baskets, the floors, the toilets, all of that stuff. That's what I do the best, and I love it." And she was serious.
Yeah. See, that's one thing that I think has, again, we go back to this whole thing of the givens, and that this is why they're flawed, because I believe, whether it's a mismatch or not, there is somebody out there who wants to do, there is a somebody out there who wants to do every single task that is necessary in our civilization, east, west, north, south, around the globe. It's just, are they doing it or not? There are people that want to be sanitation engineers and nuclear, yes, physicists and airplane pilots and grocery checkers. There are people that do enjoy that. And, yes, and others, yeah, who are going, "Are you kidding?
Yeah.
You,
yeah,
must be nuts."
Yeah, you got to be kidding. You're doing that? Yeah. Yeah, I completely hear you, and I understand. That's where I'm talking about people really following what they want, yeah, to do and stepping outside of the culture and the literal programming that each person has received. And all of the listeners know where that is in their life. And what's really interesting is once you uncover the obvious ones, you know, the obvious, mm-hmm, beliefs, that underneath are all these little sniggly ones that kind of rear their head and go, "Oh, yeah, well, what about me, you know? What are you going to do with me, baby?"
Mm-hmm.
And what you really want to do is to become a non-believer of everything that you believe until it's a known fact and you can say, "I don't believe, I know. It's my experience for me, and, mm-hmm, it's just for me. It doesn't mean that it's a universal truth. For me, this is the correct way to live. This is the correct thing for me to eat, to wear, to drive, the house to live in, whatever it is. This is what resonates with me, not because anybody else told me it's supposed to."
And we need to be still and listen.
Yes. Oh, gosh. Isn't that the truth? I mean, the multitasking that goes on is beyond words.
I get frustrated when I'm multitasking, and it's like, cut it out.
Well, the thing with multitasking is that nothing really gets done to the fullest extent that it really needs to be done.
I've heard that. I've seen, as a matter of fact, there was a news piece I saw just the other day where they actually did a survey on that very,
right,
thing, that the individual tasks that a multitasker is doing are done at such a poor rate, it's amazing anything holds together anymore.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I agree. And also, because of it, and this is the other detrimental aspect of it, because it's become the norm, and because it's, you know, like somebody said, "Oh, I'm a really good multitasker," you know, it's like a, you know, pat me on the back.
Yeah.
We lose the ability to do what you just said, and that's to be quiet and listen within.
Yeah.
How can you listen within when you're also thinking about what you're going to fix for dinner? You can't. The two just don't resonate. You can't. So you've got to decide, I'm either going to fix dinner or I'm going to listen to the answer to this question or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I would suggest sit and be silent, listen to the answer, and take the resonance and the harmony that you feel with inside your own essence into the preparation of the meal and see how lovely that becomes.
Oh, yeah. I think that's one of the reasons why I have moved from where I was in Phoenix, Arizona, out here to the Central Coast, and I live up on a mountain where we have a relative seclusion where we can just sit out in the open or even on our nice screened-in porch and just take in the silence and just listen and hear what needs to be heard. Enjoy the sounds of the animals around and so on and so forth. And that was also a key that was brought up some months ago in a previous interview, that we need to reconnect to nature. That is like an amazing focal point that was raised, that we need to do that. And so many people are so caught up in technology in particular, they've forgotten that there is green grass and there are leaves on the trees and the wind is blowing. You don't even feel it, or you feel the breeze on the ocean and so on and so forth. And many people are disconnecting from the natural world.
Yeah, I know. And we live on an island that is almost all farm and ranch land, and people come here for that very reason. They come here to merge with nature,
mm-hmm.
and to go home refreshed. And what's interesting is some of the older folks who have moved here have, when you know, I see them, and then I see their friends that come from the city to visit them, they're of the same age. You would never know they were the same age. The people who are living in the city look like they're 20 years older.
Wow. Wow.
Just from the stress.
It reminds me of the movie City Slickers and the comment Curly made to Mitch as far as, you know, you City Slickers, you come out here and you spend 50 weeks out of the year tying your rope in a knot and expect to get it all untied in 2 weeks. And we need to stop more often. And I sometimes wonder if maybe the Europeans don't have it right as far as vacation time.
What do they do? I don't know.
They take a lot more than we do.
Oh, yeah.
a lot more.
That's very nice.
You know.
Yeah.
But if you can find a place where you live that's like a vacation, and I have to say that where I live is like a vacation.
Yeah, I agree. Me too. Yeah.
It makes a huge, huge difference.
It really does. I get a kick out of looking at the globe, and like especially those pictures, like where they show, there's that one picture that goes around the internet where they show the city lights, and you can see where everyone's clustered in certain areas.
Oh, yes.
There's so much of the globe that is not inhabited, and I realize that some of it isn't the most fertile, you know, water-filled, climatic, wonderful land, but it could be achieved there. It's not like we haven't done it in other places.
Mm-hmm.
If we could all just move away from rats in a cage, you know, on top of each other, so that there's more space around, then people would be able to breathe and feel more in alignment with nature and themselves.
And we don't even have to create the islands like they did in Dubai. There's plenty of land out there.
Oh, yeah. No, you don't have to make more land. There's tons of land. Just go ahead and you know, make it fertile, make it usable.
And then,
the technology.
So then that raises the question, Tony, of another given. That there are almost 7 billion people on the planet, and we're running out of room. That's what they're telling us.
I know. We're running out of room. We're running out of electricity. We're running out of oil. We're running out of power. We're running out of we're not running out of anything. It's all disinformation to keep everybody dumbed down and afraid. There's plenty of everything for everyone. There's plenty of food. There's everything. It's all just the way it's being contrived and structured to make everyone believe that this is true.
Hmm.
And, you know, somebody who just lost their job and is in foreclosure, who is listening to this show, is going to say, yeah, Tony, you just go ahead and say that. Well, whoever you are, I've been where you are.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to stay there. All you have to do is shift your perspective, and you can change anything, absolutely anything.
That's where it starts.
Yeah.
That's
absolutely
where it starts.
I sold my house 2 months before the housing crunch fell.
Ours was 3 weeks.
Yeah. And I just knew, sell your house now. And it wasn't even a sense of foreboding. You just listen.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what would have happened if I hadn't.
Yeah.
I mean, as it was, I had to lower the price a couple of times, which was fine. It wasn't a big deal. But if people just listen, and like somebody will get fired from a job and they'll go, oh, I knew this was coming. I hated this job. Well, why didn't you quit? You know?
Yeah. And you think that you won't survive. You do. People do it all the time.
You do survive, and you're going to be just fine, and it's going to give you a chance to find what you really want to do. But I really feel that what happens with a lot of people, especially busy city slicker multitaskers, is that, we'll just give you a name, everybody, is that they're afraid to be sitting at home, alone in the quiet, with no job to go to keep them distracted.
Yeah.
And that thought is terrifying. It's so terrifying that they go to the job anyway.
1 year I was laid off from 4 jobs. Laid off. And twice, the first two times, I went to unemployment and I filed. But by the time I got my first, by the time I was able to get the next job, I was no longer eligible for unemployment, so I never got a check. So the next two times I was laid off, I didn't even bother going to file unemployment. I just went looking for a job, and I found one.
Yeah.
I figured,
yeah,
okay, right. The pattern is there. It only takes me about a week to 10 days to find another job. So
I'll just go do it.
I'll just go do it and not mess around with this other stuff. It's nice that it's there if you need it, but you can do it. You can. And what we need to do right now is take a quick break. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story. I'm talking with Tony Surratt, and we are talking about you. Because you are sacred, and youaresacred.com.
Remember the stories your family used to tell?
Till I got married, 1913, when my father and my uncle came from Italy.
When was the last time you listened to the songs of your youth?
Very swinging sound here in the Bilhart Underground. That's Wild Things.
Want to hear those voices and music again? Fast Forward can help. Fast Forward Audio Communications can transfer your records and tapes to CD so you can hear them again for the first time.
Okay, stand by. They want to get you a mail hold right now until they go. No, go. Stand by.
You're listening to a live transmission of the voice of astronaut Walter Chirac.
Those memories are priceless and are great to hand down to the next generation. Keep those memories alive. Call 805-708-9804.
That's the greatest thing that I ever heard.
Fast Forward. It's the right direction for preserving your family memories. Just call 805-708-9804.
What's the most important factor in selecting a roofing contractor? What good is your bargain-priced roof when you discover that the contractor's no longer in business when you have a problem? Jack at Action Roofing has been serving Carpinteria to Santa Ynez for over 20 years, a statement very few can make. Experience means good advice on selecting the correct roofing material, appropriate ventilation control, optional skylights, and most importantly, professional installation. Guaranteed. From composition to slate or concrete tiles, Jack at Action Roofing will recommend the best roof that fits the style of your house, as well as the budget of your wallet. Let Action Roofing give you the peace of mind knowing you've properly covered the biggest investment you own. Action Roofing's gutter and downspout division will protect your eaves from dry rot and prevent water from pooling at your foundation. When was the last time you had a gutter and downspout tune-up? Take action. Call Action Roofing at 966-3696. 966-3696.
If we leave here today, we could be 1,000 miles away. Take to that road. See how far it goes. And on that great ocean. Trouble that you know empties out as you go. Oh, walk with me, talk with me.
Tell me your story. New paradigms for a new world. I'm Richard Dugan, along with Tony Elizabeth Surratt. We're talking about you and the website youaresacred.com and how you can. And it's kind of funny, Tony, we were sharing off the break and during the break there, how you can take control of your life. And yet the reality when we are able to and willing to accept that is that not only are we not in control, we've never been in control, but it's the ego. But you made a salient point earlier about the ego and how it's been getting a bad rap. And you talked about it's merging with or understanding the other attributes of who and what we are, that it becomes a part of who we are, and we don't push it away.
Oh, it's true. And because we've been given conditioning that says we're supposed to always, and it really doesn't make any difference which religion you belong to, basically it all comes out the same, we're supposed to help the other person, love the other person more than we do ourselves, make less of ourselves than we do somebody else, the ego personality that is our individuation, that is our expression as whoever we are in form, Tony, Richard, etc., that beingness doesn't get a chance to fully express itself, and so it's always trying to make a point. It's always trying to raise its head, and this is one of the reasons that the ego personality has gotten such a bad rap, because people are always trying to slap it down so that they can be heard. And when we fully embrace, and this is an individual process, when we each fully embrace who we are, the gifts we know that we possess, what we've brought to this planet, be it hauling garbage or painting a Picasso painting, whatever it is, that we fully embrace that and we love what we're doing and we love all the aspects of ourselves, from the most horrible thoughts we've had to the most beautiful thoughts we've had, then that ego personality knows that it's safe to express as God in form.
Yeah.
And it's no longer trying to raise its head or get attention.
You've done a lot of other things in your life in the past. I mean, you mentioned some of them. Why this? Why now?
Why what I'm doing right now?
Mm-hmm.
This has been my passion all my life. I mean, I've been teaching since I was 20. I was teaching metaphysics before I ever became a paralegal or a finance manager. In 1998, I made a decision. I was helping a graphic design studio get put together and managing all the little pieces. And I finally thought, you know, I'm really done with the business world. I'm just going to go and teach full time. And I just quit my job and said it was nice being with you guys and opened an office and off I went. And it's always been underneath what's been driving me. And yet there's been this other curiosity to learn more about what's going on the earth and in the world. And so I've taken these other positions to kind of further expand what I'm aware of, and finding that being a teacher of what I know, I innately know this. Whatever credentials are after my name are an afterthought. I know this. I live it. So for me to teach it is really easy because I don't have to go and look in a book. It's all my consciousness is aware of.
Mm.
So for me to, when you say why, it's because it's the thing that is most natural for me to do.
Yeah. Well, apparently it is for both of us. What we're doing is just that, the most natural thing for us to be doing. And I've been fortunate. Whether it was following my father's advice and getting into a job that I love doing, or I just followed the path and I was always in the right place at the right time, doesn't make any difference how. I'm here and I'm loving it. And this is a wonderful thing to be able to have folks like you on the program to talk in this way to those who are listening. And that's the other thing, too. I just happened to go over to another website I use to track listeners. And it jumped from, I had to be about 18 before the program to upwards of about 52 new people. I don't know how many old regular listeners there are, but at least 52 new folks have tapped into the program during the broadcast, and we're grateful for that. And grateful for your time. Thank you so much for sharing
Thank
your time.
You.
And youaresacred.com.
Thanks, Richard. It's been delightful.
Thank you very much. Toni Elizabeth Sarah, my guest, and you can check out all of her information at her website. The portal is youaresacred.com. It's all spelled out, youare. sacred.com. I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Join us every Saturday at 3 p.m. Pacific time and streaming live on the internet at richarddugan.com. Send me an email. Love to hear from you. richard@richarddugan.com. Until next Saturday at this same time or on the archives, this is Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan. Love to Lal.